All right, we're hanging out here with that one guy who's going to be swinging his way into the Mad City this Sunday coming up, June the 1st, along with Buckethead. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Yep, things are okay for a fine Memorial Day. You know,
not so bad. I escaped the tornado yesterday, so I'm in good shape.
Yeah, man, there was a lot of devastation nearby. Yeah. Holy moly.
Yeah, I'm used to earthquakes, not tornadoes. This is out of my league.
Yeah, it's way out of my league, too. I come from the East, where we don't get these either.
Sure.
So you're going to be here June 1st at the beautiful Barrymore Theater with Buckethead.
Yes.
Have you been to Madison recently?
Not. It's been a while. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, how did you go ahead and get hooked up with the Buckethead?
I got to open for him a few years ago. I was on the tour as an opener and started sitting in, and then we were together where I was sort of functioned as part of the band, and it's just been something that's going on ever since. It's been great, a blast. I think he's really an amazing musician. It's really fun stuff.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool combination also with you opening up and then I imagine sneaking out on stage maybe with the Buckethead.
Yeah, we've been playing a little bit tonight at the end of his set, and it's been a really pretty fun, pretty amazing.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah, he's really awesome.
Has he ever swung a few licks on any of your tracks?
No, but we've been playing. When we play it together at night, we've been kind of playing stuff that we've kind of come up with on the spot, improvising together. So it's sort of comes together as we play, which is a great way to do it, because I always like to improvise, and I like getting pushed by another musician, like especially somebody as powerful as he is musically, and always kind of pushes me in directions that I couldn't have necessarily done myself, so I really enjoy it.
Yeah, oh, I imagine so. Speaking of powerful, he is it, isn't he?
I think so. I'm a big fan. I just think that he's playing music that nobody else is playing, and yeah, I'm playing an instrument that no one else has ever played, so it kind of fits pretty well.
Yeah, let's talk about the instrument that you're playing.
Sure.
What is the instrument that you're playing, man?
I call it the magic pipe.
Yeah.
And basically, it's something that I came up with about 10 years ago, although the idea had been swimming around in my head since the mid-90s. And it's basically, it's stainless steel pipes. It's got strings on it. It's got two strings, one really, really low and one pretty high. And I'm processing the strings through all kinds of weird processing, harmonizers and pitch shifters and envelope filters and distortions and reverbs and delays. And then I also got 13 trigger sensors all over this thing that are feeding into a sampler that create all kinds of sounds. So it really enables me to be a one-man orchestra. Really, that's what I'm kind of going for. And, it evolved. It's evolved very slowly over the years and sort of turned into what it is now.
Yeah, for folks that haven't perhaps checked out any of your music in the past, there's some amazing, powerful sounds that come out of you and that magic pipe of yours.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's different. You know, the fun part about playing for people that have never seen it before is that they can't really have much preconceived sort of ideas about what they think it's going to be, because it just really doesn't sound like it looks, and so it catches them off guard, and it's fun that way. It's something real new for everybody, I think.
Yeah, I think they look up at the stage and they kind of say, "What the?" And then when they hear it, they say, "Oh my, what the? What is that?"
That's the idea.
Yeah, it's good to keep people off guard. You never know what's going to happen next.
I think so.
Speaking of, The Moon is Disgusting.
Yes.
Your latest release back in the late summer of 2007. Is that true? Is that accurate?
Yeah, exactly.
Like around July, I believe.
That's exactly what came out.
How did you go from seed to finality on that sucker?
That's been a slowly evolving thing as well. The idea of The Whole Moon is Disgusting came from this little story I wrote, sort of this old folk tale. Well, it's sort of based on an old folk tale about the moon and cheese, and that's not a new idea, but that's something I had been playing with for a while. And the album initially was supposed to be a soundtrack to this little short film, which, you know, I didn't really know how I was going to make, because I don't know anything about making films or movies or anything. So I went ahead and kind of made the record stand on its own. I think someday I'm going to definitely put out this little movie thing, but I've always thought of myself as a musician first. So most of the songs are from this little film, and then there's also some extra ideas, like songs about fruit and stuff that don't necessarily fit to the movie thing, but I've been playing live, so the album's very much a greatest hits of what I've been playing last year, basically. So, but the songs have been writing, have been coming together and writing themselves for quite a while.
Cool. Yeah, I've enjoyed the few tracks that I've dabbled with off of that one. I'm still a sucker for the album that features Weasel Pop Pie.
Yeah, that's songs that's sort of a classic. Songs in the Key of Biatch. Yeah, that's sort of become a little bit of a classic in my little world anyway.
Yeah, it's a classic on my show as well.
Oh, thanks, man.
Every time that there is a holiday where, you know, folks sit down and there's a family member that has a special dish, I usually intro the tune by saying, "And we're getting ready to gather, and I'll be so excited to have my mother's favorite dish." And then I hiccup, boom, hiccup, right into Weasel Pop Pie.
Beautiful. That's excellent.
It's a great tune.
Thanks. I was pretty proud of that. I mean, that record was really fun. I made that totally myself in my own little studio, and I mixed it and mastered it and everything because I sort of wanted to see if I could. And it was a really fun little project for me because it was fun to have total control over every aspect of it, even though I really didn't know what the heck I was doing. So I think that kind of dictated the spirit of the project for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes not knowing exactly what you're doing leads you to the right place.
Oh, it's always served me well. I mean, even with the instrument, I'd never built an instrument before, and it was very much just an idea that I was hoping would come together with a little bit of a deadline that I had to set for myself. And that's always been a good way to sort of approach music and art, is just to force yourself to do things that maybe you don't think you can do, but at least force yourself to finish something on some level, and maybe you'll get lucky. That's a good approach, you know?
Yeah, luck was in your corner with both the instrument and then certainly that album. I just dig it completely.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's appreciate
fun. It's so fun and far out, and you know, that's what, when people listen to your music, that's, they go there, I think, to have a good time, man.
Yeah, well, that's what music's always been about for me. I mean, that's the stuff I've always been attracted to, is music that makes me laugh and makes me feel good. That's what I like, you know?
I'm picking your teeth with Butterfly Bones, you know?
Yeah, amen.
That kind of stuff. What's kicking in that one guy's iPod these days?
Oh man, let's see. I got it. It's full. It's all 8 gigs of it. It's full. You know, I'm a sucker for the old. I was an upright bass player, you know, and I come from sort of jazz background, and Miles Davis, the early and the middle stuff, and even the, you know, the later stuff too, the 70s and 80s, the funky weird experimental stuff I'm into. Ornette Coleman and John Coltrane. I keep it on shuffle, and that stuff pops up quite a bit because I have so much of it. But I'm a huge Rush fan. They're like my favorite band of all time.
Oh, wow.
On a lot of different levels. Captain Beefheart, this is a big, big, big one for me, lyrically and musically, everything, too. Let's see. I'm really into stand-up comedy these days, too. I'm a big Richard Pryor fan, and Lenny Bruce, and Bill Hicks, and stuff like that. And, oh, the Minutemen and the early 80s punk rock stuff. I've been kind of rediscovering that from my youth a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Mike Watt on bass.
Oh, yeah. He's a big, big influence on me. And the Firehose, that first Firehose record, and all the Minutemen records, and the Black Flag stuff. And, you know, I'm really into that. I like the spirit of it.
Yeah.
The energy of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of that lately, too. So it's been fun.
It sounds like a nice collection in the iPod. Very eclectic, like we try to be on Green Arrow Radio.
Oh, sure. It's the only way to be. You got to keep it interesting for yourself, or it's not going to be interesting for anyone else, you know?
Yeah, I like to make neighbors out of sounds that people don't normally associate one another with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun to make little communities out of sound. So other than this potential movie down the road, any other new explorations for that one guy?
You got a
heavy schedule. You're you're out touring around.
Playing quite a bit, which doesn't leave me a ton of time, but there's a million ideas that I've gotten this system of collecting my ideas and try to sort through them so I can keep things moving forward and evolving with my ideas. And yeah, there's a whole couple records worth of material that I need to record, and in this movie idea, there's a couple little visual movie kind of ideas that I want to do, and a couple expansions on the instrument as well that I've been working on, that I've actually already started even pulling out of the shows a little bit. So this year I'm going to really kind of try to evolve all these things and kind of keep them evolving. That's the goal.
Keep going forward.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, take what you have and you know, you make a little tweak and a little twist, and the things that you've created in the past all of a sudden are brand spanking new.
Well, you know, that's always been my approach to everything, because even the instrument itself evolved from what I used to do on the upright bass, and you know, that's the that's the biggest misconception I think a lot of people have, is that stuff just comes out of thin air. But it's always going kind of in a straight line in a way. It's very linear, and it moves along, and you kind of add to things, like just like you said, you tweak things and add things, and you make old things new things, and building on what you've already have, and that's why it keeps getting better and better, hopefully, is you're building on what you've already used.
Amen to that. Yeah, it's nice to, especially when you're the one creating the original sound and not just kind of, you know, sampling.
Exactly.
All the time. You know.
Exactly, yeah. I'm always looking for new sounds. I'm going to go to my friend's armor shop tomorrow, actually, and I'm going to sample all the swords and shields and,
nice.
And industrial equipment to try to, you know, speed into my sampler.
Yeah, that'll be pretty cool.
That'll be a fun day. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a fun day. Wear some armor and, you know, see what it sounds like to joust and.
Yeah, pretend I'm a Lord of the Rings.
Beautiful.
Yep.
So if folks want to connect up with you,
yeah.
What are the best places to locate you?
You know, the website is always a surefire bet, which is just thatoneguy.com. But that's the numeral one, the number one. I never spell it out. I always use the number one. So that one with the number one guy.com, and then my MySpace is the same thing. It's got that, you know, MySpace/thatoneguy or .com/thatoneguy. But the website's the most current thing, and it has all my videos are on there, and all my albums and everything. It's all there, and all the news and updates.
That one guy in the flesh, right there.
That's right.
Just about. But if you really want to see you in the flesh this June 1st here at the Barrymore in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes.
I want to thank you for spending a little bit of time with me today.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And I look forward to seeing you at the show.
Oh, yeah. We'll have a good time.
All right, brother.
All right. Take care, man.
You take care, and we'll chat another time.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Travel safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Peace.